necessity of transcending imagination in talking about God, right?
Yeah.
But you have to transcend imagination also in logic, right?
Mm.
And I've seen my articles on logic there, but you know, I'll quote the passage in the Parmenides there, you know, where Socrates is imagining universal to be like a sail covering everybody instead of.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was the way you imagine, say, the definition of rational animal is kind of a sail, well, then maybe one of us has got animal, one of us got rational.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the whole, you know?
Some of us would be a
friend. So you're getting a false thing there, right? And you go to the great Porphyry, right, in the Isagoge, and the first universal he takes up is the genus, right? And he gives two meanings of genus before. They're not the logical meaning, right? And the first two names he gives, which Aristotle gives himself, of course, are ones that are, what, more sensible and imaginable. So one sense in genus is a multitude of men who have descended from the same man.
Mm-hmm.
And then another sense of genus is that one patriarch, shall we say, from whom the multitude has descended, right? And this is kind of approaching, bit by bit, the idea of genus, because the genus is going to be something one said of many, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something one like the individual patriarch is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the multitude itself, but it's something said of the many. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's kind of leading you gradually up to see the genus, but you have to eventually move beyond the what can be sensed. Huh? The universal can only be understood. But I was giving the students in metaphysics there recently that little passage there from Berkeley's critique there where he's talking about general ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I think I showed it to you guys one time, too, didn't I, or did I? But it's a nice passage because he quotes a passage from Locke, right? And Locke is thinking of the universal as kind of a mishmash of the particulars.
Oh.
So it's like, you know, this is the way I get the idea of animal, let's say, in general. I have the image of a dog, an image of a cat, an image of a horse, an elephant, and I kind of, you know, put these inconsistent images together and make a mishmash, and now I've got this very imperfect idea of animal. When actually animal leaves out the differences between dog, cat, and horse, you see. So he's trying to imagine the universal. And so, but like people like Anaxagoras, who imagine matter to be a mishmash, a composed of all the things it's able to be, and then you got all these difficulties that Aristotle shows them. Yeah. But genus, in a way, is to the difference, is a little bit like matter is to form. So it's a similar difficulty. So we're doing the ninth book in metaphysics there on acting ability, you know, trying to show how, you know. They can't see the distinction, these two guys, neither Berkeley nor Locke. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And Locke says it's all none of these.
Yeah.
Well, it's all of these in ability, none of them in act. But he can't make the distinction. So he said, these two guys need to the book in act and ability. Then you go to Descartes, you know, who thinks you can't define motion. There's no way to define it. But you can define motion through act and ability. So he needs a book in act and ability, too. And it's funny, you know, they don't read their predecessors, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So. Okay. So that's so they apply, in other words, their power to one place, right? And then they apply it maybe to another place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, God is everywhere in his infinite power.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a kind of change, right? Huh? Mm-hmm. To apply it here and then to apply it there.
Yeah.
So in regard to place, in regard to therein. Huh? Thus, therefore, in every creature, there is some potency to change, either according to substantial being, as the corruptible bodies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can kind of skip the next part there, or according to place only as the celestial bodies, or in these two ways, in the angels, according to their order to the end, right? and also the application of their powers to diverse things,
okay,
as in the angels. But then, recalling what we said before, and universally or in general, all creatures are commonly changeable according to the power of the what? Creator, right?
Mm-hmm.
In whose power is to be and the not to be of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So should we try to oppose him? Do you think it makes any sense to oppose someone whose their being and non-being are in his power? But it's interesting, you know, he doesn't show his power the way we might if we had such power.
Yeah.
But our perfect, you know.
Fireworks.
He's very patient. He's very patient with it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Whence, since God in none of these ways is changeable, right? It is private to him, right? It's a property of him, huh? To be altogether what? Unchangeable, right? Okay, now, first objection. Matter isn't everything that is moved, but the created substances, as the angels and the souls, don't have matter, right? Okay. The first, therefore, it should be said that that objection proceeds about what is changeable according to what? Substantial being, through its matter, or accidental. For about such motion the philosophers treated, meaning the natural philosophers, I think. Yeah. And just like we use the word science sometimes, you know, meaning what? Natural science, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? We don't usually say, you know, we might think of social science, you can call it a science, but we have to say social science, right? We wouldn't say science, right? you just say science, period, you think of natural science, right? And from the point. Now, the second one here was about the what? Blessing, right? Okay. So second, it should be said that the good angels, huh, in addition to or above the unchangeableness of their being, right, which belongs to them by their very nature, huh? They have unchangeableness of choice from the divine what? Power, right? Nevertheless, there remains in them changeableness according to place. Huh? Okay.
Interesting. He says the angels, but not the saints. Unless.
Well, the objection was what?
Interesting. The blessing, I think.
Yeah. Okay. But it's similar, huh? By the way, when we get our bodies back, we will have a little. The gift of agility is a thing. St. Paul speaks of that. The third objection, huh? About form being this way. To the third, it should be said that forms are said to be invariable because they are not able to be the subject of variation. But they are subject, nevertheless, to variation insofar as the subject is varied according to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whence it is clear that according as they are, thus they are what? Varied, huh? But they are not said to be what? Beings, as it were, the subject of being, but because by them something is, right? So it's not like we're saying that the existing thing is what? Unchangeable, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that by which it exists is in some sense unchangeable. So, take a little break before we look at the eternity of God.
Mm-hmm.